we got to about a couple of miles down the road, a very, very fast corner, and it just water, rain, and spun off, and a few of us sort of threaded our way through, and it's steaming on, you see, and Jackie was in front of me and hit a puddle, aquaplaned off the track. Yeah. You better tell this bit.
I went off the road about 150 miles an hour, I suppose. Yeah. Went screaming down an embankment, knocked down a few things on the way, and ended up with all the fuel tanks ruptured, all wrapped around me with all the gasoline inside. And Graham, fortunately, spun in the same pool of water.
Yeah, I remember coming along to this point, and I thought, it doesn't smell right. There's something wrong. I couldn't see anything. It was just water haze mist from wheels. But somehow it just didn't look right to me. I don't know what it was. It was like such instinct which you pick up after, you know, one or two years of racing. And I just lifted off, but it was too late. I lost it, and around I went. I went going down the road backwards, and I just got it to a stop by the side of some railings. And I started looking for the gear. I think the gear lever was this side. As I looked down, I thought, back on me. I said, there's Jackie down there in a car. I thought, oh, God, he doesn't look so good. That's a bit second hand. You know, I could see he was in some sort of trouble, so I jumped out of the car, and there, of course, he was trapped. And we had to try and find
a... Yeah, for a long time, because there were no marshals or anyone around to help us. Yeah. You had to go and get a spectator's toolkit to get me out of the car.
In the meantime, Bob Bondurant turned up, looking again...
a bit second-hand.
Very second-hand. He'd been upside down on the other side of the road, and between us, you know, we then tried to... You'd get Jackie,
I'll never forget thinking of that helicopter above that was hovering above, and I thought, my God, great, they've come to rescue me, they've come to, this helicopter's going to take me to hospital. I was feeling not so good. And this was Frankenheimer's Grand Prix movie, filming the whole scene.
ABC's Championship Auto Racing. Getting home first. The Formula One life of Jackie Stewart. Today's program brought to you by... A gray February Sunday in Switzerland, in a hillside village called Begnan, some 30 kilometers from Geneva. A bright yellow De Tomaso Pantera stops at the gate of Clayton House. The car and house belong to a 32-year-old Scot who has won the World Driving Championship twice, and has won more Formula One races than any driver except Juan Manuel Fangio and the late Jim Clark. For Jackie Stewart, getting home is a treat. He's just now come from a hospital visit with his six-year-old son, who broke his leg skiing a week ago. Tomorrow, Jackie Stewart leaves for Johannesburg, South Africa, for the second race on the Formula One or Grand Prix Tour.
Well, I think one of the biggest privileges of living here is the fact that I do get away from everything. I've got a few racing drivers who live around, but we never talk about motor racing. The place doesn't seem to allow you to talk about motor racing.
And he's basically remained the same person. He's a very kind person. He's great with the children. He's really a great family man, which makes me very happy. He's not the... Well, a lot of people think it must be terrible to marry a racing driver. He's never at home. He's... Or do you get jealous of his other girls around him, things like this? I used to, because I wasn't used to it at the beginning, but I see so much of it now that I know how he feels about me and the family that it doesn't bother me at all now.
You know, the big thing about our marriage is that we've come along together. Helen didn't marry a racing driver. She married Jackie Stewart, garage mechanic, trap shooter. So therefore we've experienced everything together and every stage that we've travelled through. We've enjoyed it together, and therefore I suppose we've matured together. Oh, sure, life has changed, but the goals haven't changed all that much. I desperately wanted success when I was trap shooting. I've always been a very competitive person in everything I've done. I mean, if I do a TV thing, I want to do the best that I possibly can on that TV thing. It could be driving a car, it could be testing, it could be doing any one of the things that I now do. And that's one of the things that intrigued me. I want to try and do it well.
I mean, it's just driving the front end forward all the time, therefore I'm inducing oversteer, which is wasting time, and I'm sure putting temperature on. I can't
Owner and team manager Ken Terrell, like Helen Stewart, has come a long way with Jackie. He's matured with him. They listen to each other. They respect each other. The pits before a Formula One race look a bit like a junk shop. Engines and transmissions, cooling and carburation systems are all dismantled, checked, then reassembled. Mechanics look for tiny refinements to improve performance, to save weight, because the lighter the car, the easier the engine's job. And obviously, the faster the car will go. The trick is, keep it light, but keep it safe. Compared to a typical American family car, the Formula One car looks like the racing machine that it is. It's a streamlined 6 feet shorter and more than a foot closer to the ground. It's 2.5 times lighter than a family car, and that's where the critical power-to-weight ratio comes in. For with an engine typically half the size of a family car, a Formula One machine develops an incredible 460 horsepower. But that power peaks at an engine-busting 10,000 RPMs. Let's compare the horsepower with the championship car, its turbocharged American cousin. In Formula One racing, there are no pit stops for fuel. You have to carry enough to finish. But for Jackie Stewart, the end of the race is really the beginning of the quest.
I still seem to have goals that I want to conquer. Winning races doesn't seem to be the answer. There have been lots of drivers who have won races. But I think to do it completely and to try and run the whole field as well as I possibly can seems to be the one thing that I want to do. And unfortunately, almost every week some new opportunity arises that sort of sparks off another germ of enthusiasm. So yet I haven't found the thing I want to stop doing. I do want to retire from motor racing in the not too distant future, in fact, because of course there is other things in life than driving race cars. But so far that point hasn't come. Come over every week almost, or every second week to Europe to race. I mean, you're jeopardizing perhaps your performance in America and your reputation by coming over here and exposing yourself to a totally new thing. I mean, why do you do it?
Well, because I set different goals for myself, just like I'm sure you do. First of all, I have to satisfy myself, my own ego. As far as my career, there's certain things that I like to accomplish in spite of what people might say and so on and so forth. And this is an area that I would like to be able to do well in, Grand Prix racing. However, I'm trying to just obtain the cake and eat it too.
Okay, but why, Mario?
Well, because I'm still an avid racer. You know, I'm not just...
Why Grand Prix? Why not some other class of racing?
It's very competitive, and let's face it, Formula One racing has to be at the height of any driver's ambition today, so that's the place to be.
The drivers in Indianapolis, or even for that matter in American motor racing, don't seem to create the same charisma as they do in Grand Prix motor racing. A star driver in America, somehow, to me, is not a star driver. If I'm a star in Germany, Italy, France, Austria, or wherever, people want to talk to me in the street all the time, but they don't want to go and speak to me. They're a little afraid of me. In Indianapolis or in America, everybody wants to shake your hand and slap your back and tell you that their grandfather was Scottish.
Precious seconds of preparation. Almost over. Cars and drivers sit in the heat and anticipation. Once again, it's time to go racing.
Grand Prix motor racing today is the most colorful, the most exciting, the most glamorous modern sport in existence.
He likes to sit in front of the fire reading, have a meal by the fire.
2 minutes to go.
Play with the children. He doesn't really get much time.
Well, first of all, I thought I had made a very good start. Denny Holm, however, had come through from the second row of the grid like a dose of soaps. I mean, very, very fast. Now, I really can't imagine what he was doing, but he was going much faster than we were and reached the first corner a clear header in front of everyone else.
Former world driving champion Dennis Holm of Team McLaren in the lead at Kyalami Racetrack. 9 turns per lap. Average speed nearly 120 miles an hour. 80,000 spectators watching the African continent's premier racing event.
For the remainder of that lap, I just tried to stay with Denny as close as possible. It's a big problem slipstreaming a car too closely because it takes the draft from your airfoils and you're left without downforce on your race car. Therefore, your car's a little squirmy.
Stewart, right behind them, Team Lotus driver Emerson Fittipaldi and Team Surtees driver Mike Hailwood. Over $2.5 million worth of machinery, twisting, sliding, jockeying for position on the 2.5 mile course.
By the beginning of the straight, I was in good shape to sort of slingshot, draft, or slipstream, whatever you like to call it. And in fact, did this, passing him under braking, going into the first corner on the second lap. From that point, I opened up fairly easily a lead of 4 seconds.
Next Sunday on ABC's Championship Auto Racing, Jackie Stewart travels with us to Florida for a look at long-distance racing, the Sebring 12-hour Grand Prix of Endurance, a punishing test of man and machinery that rewards staying power as much as raw speed, a competition of contrast with exotic prototype Alfa Romeos and Ferraris racing with and against American and European production cars. This is the Formula One life, Jackie Stewart. This is how you get to be world driving champion. The race, 79 laps, 200 miles, an hour and 45 minutes in the center of a physical, emotional, and mechanical hurricane. Denny Holm has dropped back to play a game he's very good at, waiting. Jackie finds himself with two impatient young lions snapping at his heels. Emerson Fittipaldi in the black and gold number 8 Lotus, and Mike Hailwood, former motorcycle champion, in the white 17 Surtees.
I started in Kyalami to miss gears. I started to miss a change from second to third. And then I missed a change from fourth to fifth, which shouldn't have happened. And I couldn't really account for it. I thought it was perhaps me that I was thinking of something else. Or, you know, I wasn't giving it everything it should have had. Finally, just lost third, fourth gear. I could only have second and fifth. And I just cruised around the remainder of the lap and came straight into the pit. While that lap was being completed, the gearbox was also starting to seize.
So Jackie Stewart won't be getting home first today. Suddenly it's hot and uncomfortable in the heavy fireproof longies and jumpsuit. It's 88 degrees. It's March 4. And right now in Geneva, it's snowing. For the defending world driving champion, the 1972 Grand Prix of South Africa will go into the record books as DNF. Did not finish. Number 12, Denny Holm, off his waiting game, streaks into first place, 50 miles to go. Fittipaldi slowed down. Meantime, Hailwood's broken, spun off the road at 140 miles an hour. He's okay.
I've never seen more of an Englishman than Ken Tyrrell. My favourite image of Ken Tyrrell is him standing up before he goes to bed at night with a pair of Union Jack pyjamas, standing at attention while he plays a record, a 78, of God Save the Queen. To me, that's Ken, but he's one hell of a man. He certainly, I think, has been responsible for me becoming, if I am now, a good racing driver. It's been his direction and his advice and his influence that's done this for me. I asked Jim Clark, I asked all sorts of people who were much more experienced and in the know than I,
and they all told me that if you want to go single-seater motor racing internationally, you go with Ken Tyrrell if you ever get the chance. I'm a racing driver who some sponsors want. Ken Tyrrell is an entrant who some sponsors want. But together we're a much stronger force. And we share in the profits. The only difference is, of course, that I've got no overhead. So the big joke for me is that Ken has all the talent and I have all the money. But it's not strictly true. I think we've both gained out a bit, and I hope fruitfully.
A blown tire. John Love, local entrant, parks his new $45,000 Surtees on the curb and walks away.
We must minimize the risks of motor racing to ensure its future. Motor racing will never be safe. If we put up barriers and fences and protective arrangements around the circuit, you will always, of course, have people die, racing drivers. Because you can't drive at 200 miles an hour and hit things and come off with only a sore head. So we're not removing the basic ingredient of the sport, we're just diluting the possible repercussions.
It's almost over now, one lap to go. The race belongs to Denny Hulme. In fact, Team McLaren has done remarkably well since American driver Peter Revson, driving the other McLaren, has fought his way through the pack to finish a brilliant third. Another American, Mario Andretti, fourth. For Team Tyrrell, a bad day. One DNF, one ninth place, severe. Gearbox problems in both cars. And the new cars will not be ready until Monaco in May.
This motor is a super one. It's the best we've got yet. And it was brand new this morning, never been raced. And I'm pretty confident if we get runs like this for the rest of the season, we're going to be all right.
Well, as far as we go, send all the ball. Thank you very much.
Well done.
I was starting, I got boxed in, and the rev limiter wasn't on, and it went up to about 11.8, and then I shifted in the wrong gear trying to stop it.
Well done.
Peter and Jackie are almost the same age. They've had different kinds of racing success, but the energy, the excitement you see in their eyes is the same.
Well done, Teddy. Thank you.
For Jackie Stewart, a commitment to living, to his way of life, his work, getting home.
Oh, I just have a sauna bath, and I like music, and I read a lot, but of course now by the pool, it's nice. We show movies a lot. We have a very relaxing time. I don't think there's no action around the place, that's for sure. That's not what I come home for.
The executive producer of ABC's Championship Auto Racing is Rune Arledge. Getting Home First, the Formula One Life of Jackie Stewart, produced by Don Ohlmeyer. Directed by Bryce Wiseman. Written by Bryce Wiseman and William Edgar. This is Keith Jackson. ABC's Championship Auto Racing. Getting Home First, the Formula One Life of Jackie Stewart.